Well, if you would, please join with me by turning in your Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I wonder this morning if you realize, if we all realize, just how rich we are. I wonder if you realize this morning just how blessed you are. When I ask you to turn in your Bibles, I love to hear the sound of those pages turning. That is music to any pastor's ear, because it means that you're interested, it means that you're involved, it means that you intend to be engaged in what we talk about today. It means that you've probably brought your own Bible from home. It means that you care about the Word of God. But I wonder if we all realize just how blessed we are today. Blessed in the fact that we have the Bible. Rich because we have God's Word to us. And so rich because each of us have our own copy, and we have probably multiple copies at home. I wonder if we realize just how blessed we are today. If you have a Bible, and I suspect we all do, if you don't, come see me. We'll get you one. Gladly. Put one in your hands. If you have a Bible, then you possess the key to having everything you need in this life and in the life to come. If you have a Bible, you are rich beyond measure. Because in the Bible, you have God's Word to us. Some have wondered, though, what use the Bible is today. I mean, how relevant can it really be? A book that was written over 2,000 years ago? What possible relevance can such an ancient text have for our lives today? How is this book of great use, other than as a historical document, as a document that has had its impact on history, certainly, in the past? No one could argue that. But really, I mean, how can its message have any relevance for our lives today? Paul gives us the answers this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. As he shares with us the true nature of this book, of how this book is unlike any other book ever written, and of what a true treasure we have in the Scriptures. So look with me, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Apostle Paul, writing to Timothy, says, "All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work." This is the Word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, we are excited to study this text together, a very well-known text, but one we often underappreciate in terms of what it's really communicating to us and how we should respond to it. Teach us about your Word today. Lord, we don't worship the Bible, but we worship the God revealed to us in the Bible. And without the Bible, we would live our lives in ignorance of who you really are. We would live our lives in ignorance of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and of the redemption he came to provide for us. We would live our lives in ignorance of the way to obtain eternal life. And so we are grateful and thankful, and our hearts are filled with praise because you have spoken to us. We have your Word preserved for us in our Bibles. and we are blessed. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want us to see three reasons we should treasure our Bibles. Three reasons you and I should treasure the Bible we have. The first reason Paul gives for us in this passage for why we should treasure our Bibles, we should treasure our Bibles because it is God's very word to us. The Bible is God's very word to us. Paul tells Timothy here that all Scripture is inspired by God. Just three words in Greek. Passa graphe theopneustos. All Scripture inspired. Now, how are we to understand these words? That all Scripture is inspired by God. What does it mean? When we use the word inspire in our contemporary discourse, we often think of something that influences us, something that moves us, something that motivates us. We feel inspired. We're inspired by a sunset, or we're inspired by a beautiful piece of art. We're inspired by the courage we see someone else exhibit. But this is not what the Apostle Paul means when he says that the Scriptures are inspired by God. When Paul speaks here of inspiration, he's speaking of the Bible's objective quality of being the very Word of God. Paul, in speaking of inspiration, is not speaking of our subjective response to God's Word. He's not speaking of our subjective response to Scripture, but rather of the objective quality of Scripture being the very Word of God to us. The Scriptures do not subjectively become the Word of God by our interaction and response to them, but rather the Scriptures are objectively, in and of themselves, the Word of God, whether or not we ever interact or respond to them. The Scriptures are inspired. The word translated here, inspired, theopneustos, can be more literally translated, God-breathed. The Scriptures are God-breathed. Now, what does that mean? God-breathed. It's a unique word in the New Testament. It's not written anywhere else in the Bible, theopneustos, God-breathed. It seems that Paul perhaps has coined this term to describe the objective quality of the Scriptures as being God's Word. What does it mean? God breathed. Well, in creation, God spoke the worlds into existence. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 3, we read, God said, God spoke, let there be light, and there was light. God speaks, and when he speaks, power. Power creates. God's power creates and brings things into being. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God's word, God's breath, has power to create, power to give life. The psalmist in Psalm 33:6 says this, using Hebrew poetic parallelism, which is essentially saying the same thing but in a slightly different way. He says this, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. God created everything by the word of his mouth and by the breath of his mouth. From the first two chapters of the Bible, therefore, we learn that God's word is all-powerful. Powerful enough to speak the worlds into existence. Powerful enough to give life. To say that the scriptures, therefore, are God-breathed means that the Bible is the direct product of the creative breath of God. That these words come to us, these words we have in the scriptures come to us from God. And that God's word is powerful and life-giving. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the wilderness to turn stones into bread, Jesus resisted Satan's attempts at temptation by quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. This is found for us in Matthew 4:4. Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." The words that proceed out of the mouth of God have the power to create, have the power to give life, have the power to sustain life. The scriptures are God's communication to us. The scriptures are God's word. Now, we know that God used human authors in the process of giving us his word. We know that God used Moses, and he used David, and he used Isaiah, and he used Jeremiah, and he used Matthew, and he used Luke, and he used Peter, and he used Paul in the writing of his word. A total of about 40 authors in all contributed to the scriptures. So how can these writings of these people be considered the word of God? Well, Peter tells us, and I want you to turn there briefly, in 2 Peter chapter 1. He tells us how this happened. This is the process God used to get us his word. 2 Peter 1:21. Peter says, "No prophecy, no word from God was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God." The Spirit of God superintended the process of inscripturation so that the product that came down to us can be said to be, though human authors wrote it, can be said to be the Word of God, the very Word of God to us. God so superintended the process of the writing of the scriptures that the writing of the human authors reflected their own style, their own experience, their own personality, all the while maintaining the fundamental quality of being God's very word to us. Furthermore, now back to 2 Timothy 3:16. Paul not only says that scripture is God-breathed, he says that all scripture is God-breathed. This refers to the whole, the totality of scripture, as well as all of its parts. If all the parts are inspired, then the whole must be inspired. And likewise, if the whole is inspired, then all the parts must therefore too be inspired. Every word of Scripture is inspired of God, and the entire corpus of God's word is therefore inspired. Scripture, then, is God-breathed, both in its parts and in whole. This is what is referred to at times by the verbal plenary inspiration of the Bible. Verbal plenary inspiration. Verbal meaning the words themselves are inspired, the words themselves are God-breathed. Plenary referencing the whole of the scriptures being God-breathed. breathed and inspired. You and I are blessed today. You and I are rich beyond measure today because we have God's word to us. And we have it in abundance. You and I have the Bible, and the Bible bears the quality of being God-breathed in both its parts and its entirety. Now, what does that mean for us? What are the implications of that for us today? Well, it means that the Bible itself, the book you hold in your hands, the book that is on your lap this morning, the Bible itself is a testament to God's gracious and merciful character as evidenced in His gracious self-disclosure. You see, God has not left us in the dark. He could have, but He hasn't. We know that apart from God's gracious self-disclosure to us in the Bible, we would be groping around in the darkness, groping around in the darkness of our own ignorance. We would not know where we came from. We would not know why we are here. We would not know who we are. We would not know the purpose for which we've been made. We would be left to ourselves, and we would devise every kind of false belief system, every kind of guessing, of philosophy based on our own ignorance. But God has not left us to guess. God has spoken, and He has spoken volumes. God has not given us a little word here or there. He has given us the 66 books of the Bible that give us everything we need for life and godliness. God has given us all the information we need. Now, you and I still have questions. But those questions are not themselves. The answer to those questions is not necessary for life or for godliness. God has not been stingy in sharing with us the answers to life's deepest questions. He has spoken to us in His Word, and this Word bears the quality of divine communication. The Bible is God breathed. It has come from God's mouth to our ears. Because the Scriptures are inspired, because they are God-breathed, and therefore God's very word to us, they are also authoritative. Another implication of this God-breathed Bible that we have. It is authoritative. The Bible, as God's word, is the authority in our lives. It is the authority in our lives. God is our creator. He made us. And because He's our creator, we are answerable to Him. He has authority over us. And when God speaks as our creator, we are under obligation to listen and obey what He says. The Bible is this authoritative word to us. Because this is the case, we must read the Bible. We must hear it. We must hear it read, we must hear it explained, we must obey what it says because it comes to us directly from God and it is our authority. Not only that, because God's word is inspired, because it is God-breathed, it is also trustworthy. It is true. The trustworthiness of Scripture is grounded in the very character and nature of God. Our God is a God of truth. The Bible says it is impossible for God to lie. God never speaks falsely. God never deceives. He never fudges. He never exaggerates. He always and only speaks the truth. And therefore, since the Bible is God breathed, the Bible is God's very word to us, and the Bible is trustworthy because it is true, because God could do no other. And if all that the Bible says is true, then we can rely on it. We can trust it. We can build our lives upon it, knowing that it will lead us and guide us to what is best, to what is right, to what is good. Jesus, in praying for us in John 17, says, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." God's word is truth. Have you ever had a watch or a clock that always ran a little slow or a little fast? You can't ever really trust it. You know, you want to live your life around that kind of a timepiece. You find yourself always looking for a more reliable, trustworthy source for the actual down-to-the-minute time. That's what's great about an atomic clock. You know, it doesn't keep time itself. It sets itself to a greater clock. It tunes in and gets the correct time, always assuring you that you know the exact time that it is, so you can always trust it. The Bible, as God's word, never runs a little fast or a little slow when it comes to the truth. It's always right on time, so to speak, when it comes to truth. As an atomic clock is to time, so the Bible is to truth. Totally trustworthy. Totally reliable. You can set your life by it. Because the Bible's trustworthy, because the Bible's true, we can build our lives upon it. The Bible is a trustworthy guide for helping us to understand our place in this world. The Bible can be trusted to explain to us who God is and who we are. The Bible, as God's word, can be trusted when it says that we are sinners and we are condemned under God's just judgment. The Bible can be trusted when it reveals that God, in His love, has sent His Son Jesus to die on our place so that we, by faith, might have forgiveness in Jesus Christ. The Bible can be trusted. In all that it says, in all that it affirms, in all that it claims. The Bible can be trusted when it speaks to us how we ought to handle our money, how we ought to love our wife, or how we ought to respect our husband, how we are to raise our children, how we are to honor the authorities He has placed in our lives. The Bible can be trusted when it tells us how we are to serve in the church, how we are to treat our enemies, how we are to love our communities. The Bible can be trusted because it is God-breathed. It is God's very word to us. And because God has spoken to us in the Bible, we are blessed, we are rich, and we ought to treasure the great blessing God has given to us in His word. Second reason we ought to treasure our Bibles, not only because it is God's very word to us, but also because it will profit us immensely. It will profit us immensely. Paul says, verse 16, "All Scripture is inspired by God, is God-breathed and profitable." It is profitable. The Bible is inspired. The Bible is God-breathed. And because it is God's very word to us, it is therefore profitable to us. It is impossible to overestimate the value of the Bible for us. Scripture is invaluable. It brings us advantage in life and brings great benefit to us, benefit both for this life and for the life to come. Based upon this statement of Paul, I don't think it goes too far to say that reading and obeying the Bible will make your life better. You want a better life? Make the Bible the foundation upon which you build your life, the foundation upon which you live your life. The Bible will profit you immensely. The Scripture is profitable. Specifically, Paul says that the Bible will bring us profit in four specific ways. He says the Bible is profitable for teaching. Because it's God's word, it instructs us. It tells us the way things truly are. Specifically, here Paul is talking about instruction, about doctrine, about our beliefs, about our worldview. The Bible is profitable because it tells us the way things truly are. We don't have to be misled by myths or lies or false philosophies because the Bible is true. It is able to inform us on the way things truly are, the way things ought to be, and the way things one day will be. The Bible's profitable for teaching. It instructs us. It informs us. Next, Paul says the Bible is profitable for reproof. This is the negative side of that. Not only does it positively instruct us, but it negatively corrects our wrong beliefs, our wrong assumptions about God, about this world, about ourselves, about salvation, about everything. The Bible is profitable for reproof. Reproof is the correction of doctrinal error. The Bible highlights and reproves what is false. By setting forth the truth, it also serves as the standard of truth, the standard by which all other truth claims are measured. Many of the world's truth claims are measured against the truth of God's word. They are found wanting. Those that find themselves in conflict with the Word of God, those truth claims that find themselves in conflict with the Word of God, are to be rejected as false. So the Bible is profitable not only in positively putting forth the truth, it is profitable in correcting and reproving what is false, what is erroneous, what is not true. Next, Paul says the Bible is profitable to us for correction. While the first two areas of profitability have to do with right doctrine, these next two deal with right living. The Bible is profitable for correction. The Bible corrects us when we go astray. It corrects us when we sin. It shows us our sin in light of God's holiness. The Bible shows us our guilt in the light of God's judgment. The Bible shows us our need to repent and our need to trust in the saving sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our forgiveness. The Bible is therefore profitable for correcting us. And then Paul says that the Bible is profitable for training in righteousness. It not only corrects us when we go astray, when we're sinning, it also trains us not to sin and trains us how to live righteously. You see, the Bible is key in helping us to put off sin and to put on righteousness. The Bible thus not only tells us what we're doing wrong, but it also positively instructs us on how to live right. The Scriptures then are profitable both for our doctrine and for our living, both for what we believe and for how we live. It positively instructs us in both what we ought to believe and how we ought to live, and negatively corrects us when we go astray and when we are believing things that are not true. The Bible makes our life better by informing and correcting our beliefs and by correcting and informing our behavior. And the result of all this instruction and correction is blessing. Blessing in your life, blessing from God, the blessing of obedience, the blessing that comes from living a life of peace with God, knowing that you are reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Blessing that comes from living a life built upon biblical wisdom. Blessing that comes from knowing that your future in the Lord is secure based on the promises of God. Scriptures are profitable. Now, this is not a promise that following the Bible will make you rich. In fact, following the Bible in this world may very well cause you to lose money, right? There may be a cost involved. But the Scriptures are profitable nonetheless to help you live a life of gospel faithfulness. A life honoring to the Lord. A life that brings glory to the Lord. A life that honors Jesus Christ. A life that leads to eternal life. Scriptures are profitable to help you live the life God made you to live. Scriptures are profitable because they are our instruction manual for living life under God's authority. Thirdly and finally, we should treasure the Bible because it is sufficient to mature and ready us for every good work. All Scripture, Paul says, is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Verse 17, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Paul says the intended purpose of all this instruction and of all this correction, the intended purpose of God's word being given to us is so that the man of God may be adequate or complete. The reason God has given us this God-breathed revelation is so that we may be complete and equipped for every good work. Paul speaks here of the man of God. Paul is writing to Timothy. Timothy is serving as the pastor at the church at Ephesus. The term man of God is a technical term used in the Old Testament frequently, and it refers to God's chosen messengers, often used of the prophets. Paul uses it here of Timothy in a slightly broader way because of his leadership role, because of his role as God's servant and God's messenger there in Ephesus. And while Paul certainly has Timothy specifically in mind as he says this, there's no reason that these words cannot apply to us all. There's no reason that these words do not apply to us all. The Bible is profitable so that we all might be adequate, equipped for every good work. God has given us His divinely inspired word in order that we might be made complete. God's word makes God's children complete. It unlocks the door to make us capable to live the life that God wants us to live a life that's pleasing to Him. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is. God's word helps us not to be conformed to the world. It gradually transforms our lives by renewing our minds, by helping us to think God's thoughts after Him. It changes our thinking. It changes what we love and what we hate. What we used to love, we now hate. What we used to hate, we now love. And as a result of this process of transformation by mind renewal, we are able to discern God's good, acceptable, and perfect will for our lives. You know, God's will for your life and God's will for my life is largely known. It's all revealed. It's all been given to us, and it's right here. God's will for us is to pursue Jesus Christ. God's will for us is to love Jesus Christ. God's will for us is to love others in Jesus' name. It's all revealed to us. God's word has been given to us so that we may be made complete, so that we may be equipped for every good work, so that we may be readied to do His work. What a promise this is. In God's Word is everything we need. The Scriptures are sufficient for us. God has given us everything we need for life and for godliness, everything we need in order to live the life God would have us live, the life He has created us for. What are these good works that we are equipped by God's Word to do? It's everything God calls us to do. It's loving your neighbor, including your nearest neighbor, your spouse. It fully equips us to raise our kids in a way that is pleasing to the Lord. The Bible equips us for every good work, including loving your enemies. It equips us to die to ourselves, to live by faith, to love Jesus, and to love others self-sacrificially. The Bible equips us for dealing with all the challenges of life. It gives us wisdom and direction. In the Bible, we have everything we need. It is sufficient, giving us all that is needed to live a life pleasing to the Lord. Beloved, we have every reason to treasure our Bibles this morning, because the Bible is God's very word to us. Because the Bible is of great profit to us. And because the Bible is sufficient to equip us and make us complete to do all the good work God has designed for us. You lack nothing. Because God has spoken. He's revealed Himself. He's revealed His Son. He's revealed the past. He's revealed the future. He's revealed what you're to do today. You have all you need. And you have it because God has spoken to us. God breathed Scriptures. Serve as our guide. Serve as our consolation. Serve as our counselor. Serve as the sufficient teacher, making us what we ought to be in order that we might accomplish what God has designed for us. Treasure the Bible because it is God's Word. How can you treasure it today? Treasure it. Treasure it by knowing it. Treasure it by reading it. Treasure it by thinking about it. Treasure it by talking about it with others. Treasure it by studying it. Treasure it by meditating upon it. Treasure it by listening to it being read. Treasure it by listening to it being preached. Treasure it by making the foundation upon which you build your life. Are you treasuring God's Word today? Do you understand what it actually is? God's very Word to you, so that you may be complete and equipped for every good work. Treasure it today, beloved. It is God's word to you.